But this gentleman was one of the more active back during the 1960s. Little Crow has a college degree, has studied law. These are going to come up and show their people the way. And let us forever pray to Grandfather and Creator that it's in time, while there is still oral tradition to be handed down. This is an opportunity that you cannot even imagine as you sit in this room. Only history is going to show and tell what this is going to do. Don't miss it. Oh, goodness, friends, don't miss it. This is going beyond God showering you with wherewithal. This is bringing together some of the greatest minds. And then it can reach out and move across the waters. And you don't have to go kill anybody, including George Bush. I mean, good grief, leave him alone to his own resources. He goes and plays with Henry Kissinger and Baker at Baker's Institute, you know, down south. And they get little Madeleine Albright on the TV monitor. And, oh my, they are just having a wonderful time like they did up here at the business conference. Don't waste your time denying these people anything. Mr. Kissinger, just they're happier than can be. Things are going well. They're bumping off everybody who's a problem to them. So don't be a problem to them. He wasn't willing to work with us at that time. I believe that under the cover somewhere, he must be ready now because things are beginning to look different. If I'd thought of it in time, I would have asked Rick to bring one of the last tapes made in New York from a gentleman named Robert. Now, this is an interesting gentleman. And he's been working on stuff, and he doesn't want any part of that contract mess, and he doesn't want to disclose anything. But suddenly, he is put in charge some way of some massive program that is going to get you and me some humanitarian funds. I mean, after all, they suddenly like our program. We're going to help the Indians. How much do you need? So we give them an outrageous number. And you know what the answer was? I don't think that's enough. We better double that. Well, we're all for double. We hope it isn't double or nothing. And we've had Philippine persons nearing the end of what they consider is the end of some of their manipulations and workings through Canada and into New York. And right on schedule, just as he said, he went back down to Panama and should be back in the Philippines today, and we should hear something within a couple of days. Do these ever bear fruit? Well, to everybody who's never had one bear fruit, I guess not. I expect them, and Margie certainly does, expects them to bear fruit to the point you're going to wonder what in the world hit you. You know, when this Indian gentleman said, hey, we can do this. I mean, they'd keep running out in the hall, you know, away from us naives. They had put up with 2 hours of Hatton, and they're kind of shaking their brains around, and they'd run out to the hall. And they came back, and we can do this, but you've got to, I mean, they're already on their box. But you have to let us do it. We got to rewrite this into legal and all this stuff, and we just said, hallelujah, brother, take it and go. The meeting's over. We want to succeed. We don't want to control and run. And we made it very, very clear. The Indians are going to have to do it themselves. We will help any way we can. Through consultation, we will struggle, strive, try, give them everything that we can possibly do to meet their needs, but they've got to do it. And this gentleman was over, and I asked him to read off some numbers. And he had to think twice before he could come up with anything that big. And I said, well, maybe you should calculate it. And he said, I already have. And the numbers are right. And I said, all right. You have met a messenger of God. And every day you guys pray to have enough. For heaven's sakes, how much does it take? Will this do it? Well, yes, sir. That will do it. And therefore, I hope they get every cent they want to do it. It's a strong time, people. And it's been long in coming. But there's a lot of training to be done before you know what to do with it. And I found Jerry over here quite interesting before the meeting. He's sharing with Dorma that he's working now with something that is dragging Jerry's fence into it. Now, I think that is a full circle worth applauding. How much more of this writing is there?
Looks like about 3 pages.
Oh, well, let's go on. She can't talk after this anyway.
These are the things we have to see and know, lest we bumble into ambush. And yet, if we experience not the possibilities, how can there ever be change for a better environment and world status? Are each of us to blame for the errors that came before us? No, only for furthering the concepts and errors. You become totally hung up on race, color, creed, and nationality. When, if 10 men and women of every sort smeared blood on the table before you and you had no microscopes or chemical testing, you could not tell one from the other. When will you learn that God is not white? He is light. You couldn't tell the difference, even with testing, unless there is some special thing amiss in any of the blood which indicates a specific racial characteristic. I'm always amused by the old adage that the squeaking wheel gets the grease. This would seem pretty good to some, I suppose, but it seems to me that more often the perpetually squeaking wheel gets tossed out for yard decorations or junk heap placement. God speaks and responds in the small wee voice of, often, silence. Squeaking indicates a friction rub taking place, which is left unattended by the wheel itself. Every individual, moreover, is only interested in their own friction blisters and not in yours. Make a big deal of it, and you may well find your blisters getting larger and larger. You will find that people are kind, but they do not feel well, they do not feed well on your shared infirmities, unless, of course, they just want to share their own as well. I suggest that if you can't eat, don't. I further suggest that if you have other problems, possibly don't speak of them, lest they bore the other into leaving you completely alone to revel in your misery. If, however, you find another who also revels in misery, join them and revel it to your heart's content.
Anyone going to volunteer for Dorma?
We have other things to do. If you are infirm, then do the best you can and keep moving along as well as possible, lest you find your wheels not just squeaking, but actually freezing. It is up to you alone to decide about your condition, and you can't wait to find out what another is willing to do for you, even if that is a physician who claims to know it all. You know what you need to know. If you will but move within and find what's eating you, lest you blame something you are eating for your plight. Am I cruel? I suppose if that is what is meant by allowing God and other to come to decisions regarding them. If a person wishes suicide, who are you to butt in except to offer your support of life? If that other goes away, allow yourself to fully release that party and check out that you don't run off to bury that other who has already departed, while the other dead entities around that one could enjoy doing same without your input, save probably paying the expenses. Be careful on that which you bite and chew, for perchance the lessons are not for you. This is a time of great transitions and migrations, and it is not yours to know about any other than self. I would hope that you would find this worthy input and not simply some other perception over which to dawdle and argue, for at best the offerings of speakings can only be from personal opinion and perception. Can I use a better example? Yes, I think so. Do your Eckers or somebody else give... Did you, Eckers or somebody else, give Cleary cancer of the colon, if that be his problem? No, but he certainly did everything he could to destroy and give terminal cancer to the Eckers and some of you nice people in this area. Is judgment or joy, sorrow or pain, your responsible response? Why? Do you think piously because you believe God is only pious? When things are set to straight, then and only then, is attention or anything else showered on the various entities surrounding your ongoing experiences. Love the man, but it is foolish indeed to not judge actions, lest you bury yourself in the mire of further lies and tramplings. Leave those silly and nonsensical things to those who have time and little work to be achieved in a positive direction. Forgiveness has nothing to do with it. Please realize the difference in forgiveness, forgetting, and wise response to each encounter. He who would blame you for his infirmities is again placing blame on every wrong perception save himself. Whatever you bring upon yourself is that which is laid forth in your own demanding. It is called universal truth in cause and effect. If you wish to continue to eat, I suggest you choose not to bite the hands and hearts of those who feed you, literally. Truth changes not. Only perceptions, yours included, change according to opinions formed and sometimes worse as laid down by misfits and gossips. I am tired, for one, of feeding my adversaries. I would far rather support and feed Audrey's and Eric's animals who have no other hands to feed them. Further, for their information, we plan to do that abundantly as soon as we can achieve some conclusion in positive manner. It is ours to attend God's creatures who cannot fend for themselves. Not attend, and bow and scrape to the self-centered would-be rulers and controllers who gossip their way through everyone's opinions. The fallen sparrow is far more precious to God for attending than the self-righteous would-be clown king who brings hurt upon himself for his narrow perceptions and ongoing kingdomship. You have to see that written out to understand how that... kingdomship. However, when the masses bring to entities in... Let's see. When the masses bring two entities into the same slot of perfection as Princess Diana and Mother Teresa, there is something badly wrong in Camelot. And, if you have to ask why, I pity you. Does this diminish Diana? No, it only diminishes your own credibility of reality and perception. The people of the world wish to live in fairyland, where princesses live happily ever after, and believe me, that is fairyland. And while you are paying attention only to these things, the world goes right on moving faster into deterioration, as the things and actions of the would-be controllers make hay out of your focus on a rainstorm. Millions of people are dying of famine in Korea, and yet you spend your time on tributes to the very ones who allow them no food. When will you be next? Soon, good buddies, soon. Let us leave this now, for there is much to do and little time to get it accomplished. We need to report to Africa and Europe, but I don't see time to do it now, so let us move on as we can. I do suggest that the team follow up on the morrow so we know where we are as nearly as can be determined. I am especially sure you will want a report from the Philippines at the earliest possible time. We send our most loving regards to the Rays and Jack who serve beyond expectations in a hard and emotional center of confusion and endless harassment. God does not miss those contributions, and may you know as much. People insist on making their own beds and putting hot coals within the blankets to ensure their own burning. If he, anyone would simply take the abundance of God's offerings to build mansions unto self and be the would-be king of the hill, there is error involved which simply will not work, for the promise of God is to fulfill the missions and promises unto his own team and workers who expect and move toward receiving of those gifts sought constantly. This week I had an amusing happenstance come my way. I offered abundance to a person who just looked shocked and couldn't even pronounce the numbers. I reminded him that this was for that which he had prayed every day. Be careful for that which you pray. You just might get it. And then what are you going to do with that big mouth filled with promises which you never expected to have to deliver? And do, dear ones, pay attention. How many of you noticed the big fire in Credit Lyonnais in Paris? Oh, indeed, it was the second, and this one only burned records regarding the rip-off operations.
Mr. Bush's.
Two in 1 year is quite interesting, don't you agree? And where were you? Glued to the tube, watching flowers being strewn on the princess's fence posts. How many times do you refuse to hear the messages given for you specifically? Obviously a lot, or you wouldn't keep asking for that which has already been given. Salut, and may the life you live begin to be your own.
Aho. Let's talk from back to front. And I want to lay out some possibilities for you. This is the way you begin to broaden your thought processes and generalize things. Some weeks ago, there was a major fire in Credit Lyonnais Bank in Paris. Now, what else happened in Paris? Princess Diana and Mr. Doty met their demise in a Paris tunnel. Do you think anybody gave any attention whatsoever to Credit Lyonnais during that period of time? Absolutely zip, zero. They burned a bank, Credit Lyonnais, to the ground less than a year ago to get rid of records. They didn't have to do that with this one. They went in, set a fire, and got rid of the records they wanted without destroying the building. Oh, but it was arson. Oh, so was Princess Diana's death, murder. So let's not be too gracious to those French cover-up artists. There is foul play going on somewhere around Paris. The noose is getting tighter, and yet the ball game players don't seem to notice. It's brazen. It's called the New World Order. And I would share with you a few things, because I'm tired of not being able to share with you things. Because we mustn't appear to be this way, and we mustn't appear to be that way. We don't have to work on appearances. We don't have anything. So why do we hide? Why do we hide what we do when it is totally within the laws of man and God and we don't have anything? That means we have absolutely nothing to hide. And yet you can't just go forth, can you? Because if you are not making scandal, ones will make it for you, about you. I want to share some of the wonderful things that are coming along with people you know. Remember Annemie, who came over from Africa. Bless her heart, she's dying of cancer, but she's hanging on. We got her some colloids and stuff, and she's hanging on. Now, wouldn't it be nice if this were the kind of world where you could take a frequency box over there and heal her? Let her heal herself. Well, that's not the kind of world you have yet. But there are others who have been with us from onset of our work here. Carol and Anne. And bless Magnus. He's from the Penny family, who's been a social elite family in South Africa for a zillion years. Only outdone by the Spencers and the Victors and, you know, the other owners of South Africa. This is where Cecil Rhodes planned and orchestrated the New World Order. This is why you had to learn about Africa and the genocidal programs going on by Israel, Britain, as we speak, to get rid of the black man in Africa. Ones that you were just meeting with this week, one of them has 11 diamond mines. His group had just, I don't remember the entire story. Rick probably does. Dorma was in shock. I mean, come on. We know about this 300-carat diamond. That's a big sucker. This guy said they had a 750-carat diamond that they just had cut and sold, and it, you know, they had to chip it away until they only had a 400-and-something-carat diamond, big as a glass, he said. Well, it makes our diamond look like nothing. And I do agree with you. You walk out of these meetings and your head swims and you say, how come we don't have anything? You will have. Just be sure you know how to be stewards of it. So let's move back to Africa. They have been in touch with Brother Spencer, brother being of Diana. And paperwork went to London and then back to Africa. And then it was, well, we can't really tell what it is you want. So if there is something to be done with Diana's legacy or her foundations or her work, you know, you should be in touch with those people. So anyway, that's dangling here, and the next step needs to be taken. And in that area, EJ, I want it taken by Magnus. Magnus Penny is a respected social elite with the Spencers. It isn't that anything was done wrong. It is that we live in a world of reality. And the first approach was made by a beautiful lady. So it can't be real. Do you see? I mean, we elite who sit with our bourbon or our scotch or whatever the English drink, we can't be bothered with these little flitting birds, they call them, coming through and annoying us. Oh, wow, what a shocker this world is in for. But we have to play a game. If we expect to make any progress at all, we have to play in the game. And if it is offensive in some instances, I apologize, but I do not make the rules for this world, or it wouldn't be in the mess it's in. So we're going to play. And we're getting a little bit of help from Greece in our time of need. Because these people understand what we're about and that we are going to do it. No matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter how belittling or insulting or demeaning they can get, we're going to do it. And that means your physical hands must accomplish whatever task is laid before you. And I know that there's no one in this room who isn't volunteered already. I'll go, sir. Send me. But I can't send you. You don't know what to do. So we just have to hold together the best that we can. And we have to grow up through. And we have to be silent where we need to be silent. But I'll be dipped if I'm going to to go one more day without sharing success with you. All you've got to do now is just take it. Just get it. Please hear me. All you have to do is receive it. A gift or a burden is nothing, nothing, unless you take it. You're going to have to take it. And that means you're going to have to take a deep breath and say, God, please let me be right in my choices. It's letting go and accepting what God entrusts to you. You don't have enough self-respect, self-worth, self-esteem to say, God, I can do it. And you can blame Dorma, and you can blame EJ, and you can blame Rick, because they suffer from the same thing. Oh, Father, I can't do this. I'm not worthy to play in this arena. I don't even know what you're going to say next. Good, is my response. How can you take your place at a table and it works all the way around and it gets back up here and Commander answers? And most of the team just said, oh, wait a minute, we'll get the recorder. We usually try to record when he shows up. And it worked out well. I have said this. I will repeat it in this room. This is too important. This is too large. This is the recovery, the possibility of recovery of an entire freedom world. It has to be done correctly. I am sent. I'm of the host, sent. Come to do this. And everybody is either going to respect me as they want me to respect them, or they may move out of the way. We are going to do this. And nobody who ever passes this way, for goodness sakes, is ever going to be hurt by anything we do. Ever. And if they perceive that their lives must be in some manner operable that brings hurt, we have to let it go. There's nothing we can do about that. Those are choices. Choices are not easy, and they're rarely what you wanted. So you have to be able to see the gift and not overlook it. These are the pieces that begin to fit if you take the opportunity to see what they are and what they might be. You see, we've had some other fun. How in the world, when all of the lands have been stolen, taken away from the Indians, do you get them back? You get enough money, you go buy the land, deed it back, and the Indians have some land. And it is a pure joy to take Jesse up, for instance, and we start over on the Tejon Ranch, and we fly the entire encompassing area of ranches and land around here. Well, what do you mean, just buy it? I mean, go buy it. And then you deed it back, or you give them the money and they go over and they do the dickering. But since in Tejon, you're dealing with a corporation, a publicly held corporation. They have a price. They got it by executive order. President Fillmore or Dubinky or somebody just said, hey, General Beale, you've killed off a bunch of people. You deserve this ranch. Here, take it. And before that, the Spaniards had it as a land grant. So no legislature voted on it. No congressional act presented it to General Beale. The president gave it to him as a ripoff deal for killing a few more Indians. Well, I don't happen to think that's fair. But what are you going to do? Go kill off the politicians? That's too old. They're already gone. So let's take the proper approach. Well, that probably won't work, we're told. Oh, well, let's do it, and then when they tell you that won't work, we'll make them prove why that doesn't work. And when you've got 2,500 of these little spots around, the Indians are going to own the world. Who's going to see to it that it doesn't work? Well, you could be talking about a very long time. I've got time. I don't know about the rest of you. But if you can do it in a big way, working on it all the time, it doesn't take very long, does it? And enjoy this period of time as you look out over the lands and you see where they want to rip up everything and put in a development. What in the world are you people going to eat? Rip up the farmland. Rip up the orchards. Put in apartments. Go to the store and get your food. This is a funny one from someone in Nebraska where they have thousands of acres of corn. What are we going to do if the crop fails? Oh, well, we'll do what everybody else do. We'll get ours at the store. Well, good luck. They're trying to make sure it won't be in the store. And if you think you've got a problem in this world of no reserves, what do you think the Indians have? Nothing. Nothing. And while the politicians talk about it, they allow more and more and more, for instance, in Korea, to starve to death. And then what do? Come up with $100,000 worth of grain? Sick. It's sick. And war won't change it. And we do have just one little problem. This gentleman is from a warring tribe. So we got to fight. No, we don't. You fight in the courts. You fight with your brain, but you never raise a hand against your brother or your enemy. Because the minute you do, they win. And they'll get theirs back just as sure as there is an illusion of this world. It is the law of cause and effect. What is sent out will come back in kind. And therefore, we're going to be kind. Because we don't need any more hate aimed at us. Does this make us bigger and more important than anybody else around? No. It means that we're finally beginning to be able to see beyond the barrier and into and within the reason that we've been here struggling for these years against all odds. Well, why would we have to go through all of this mess in court and lose everything? Because you had to experience and learn. And every day now, those lessons are washing over you, and you know what to do in a given set of circumstances. And it is amazing how much easier life gets when you walk with knowledge and understanding and you drop away that fear. Once they've taken everything, there is nothing left to fear, do you see? So you get very, very smart. And no matter what they try to do from inside to break your corporate seals and your corporate veils, they cannot do it. And of all the things you've learned in the last little bit was Judge Griffin ruling that the corporation stands. the thing I really have to apologize for is at how busy Court and Ron and Brent are going to be. And Minnie can't go to next week's meeting, and yet we've got even Little Crow. I've got to get over there, but I can't go next week. Will you be having one ever in Tachapia? I've got to go. Well, I guess we'll just have to have as many classes as are necessary for whatever we need. Because I'll tell you, when people in Nevada open their eyes and say, my God, I didn't know that, and I live here. Well, the judges don't know it, and they judge there. I don't care who uses it. I don't care who structured it. I don't like much of the structure of the judicial system. So how darest you talk about the integrity and honor that allows a corporate structure to defend itself? And you think you've got to have a lawyer if a corporation is attacked? There are so many circumstances where that cannot hold true. But we're not going to do that today. But I'll tell you, when the enemy, the adversary, comes at you without standing in the court and names you personally, you've got cause of action. And if you don't take it, then there is an opportunity probably gone forever. So you better pay attention. What else did I want to tell, EJ? Does anybody want to talk?
Well, we have some questions. They're not the same subject, though.
Well, then you're out. But we'll hear you.
Well, they're kind of on the subject of what I've been writing about. I come across some questions. In the Phoenix Journal, the Rainbow Masters, Tom on page 14 lists the seven rays and their esoteric colors. Well, this was not what I was writing about, but anyway, it's a question I have. On this page, the first ray is red and called the ray of leadership. However, on page 45, El Moria identifies himself as elder of the first ray with the color of the forget-me-not flower, blue, close to Archangel Michael.
But if you wear blue blockers and you look at the little flower, it will appear red.
Oh, you're not going to answer me then.
I am not going to walk on El Moria's ray.
Oh.
Under any circumstances.
Would you explain the red ray then?
It is a cross between red, pink, white, no.
You're not going to explain it?
No.
Oh. Well, it was a good question then.
I'll tell you what I will do. I think that's something that our Rainbow Masters should speak about a little more comprehensively. These colors, these tones, are the very basis of all things. And everybody has an opinion about them. But every frequency has a color tone and an audio tone. Even if you can't hear it, it's there. Let me digress into something that is so fundamentally business that it may not even have any interest. You can go into Bakersfield, or you can go from here into L.A., and what do you see along the way? You see oil wells pumping, pumping, pumping. Now, number one, this is the most inefficient method of energy production that you can possibly find. But in every instance, you're going to have to find large refining stills, towers. You're going to have chemical analysis of the crude coming into the still, and the heavy sulfur crude is going to go one way, and the light sweet crude that could be almost burned as a diesel fuel will go to a different cracking tower, and thus and so on down the line for refining purposes. Do you realize that you could run all of that through one pipe? And with the proper frequency color tones, you can crack that crude into its component parts, and it will automatically separate itself out as to where it belongs and its use. That technology has been around for a long time. And one of the frequencies most used and will most often be shown as a laser beam. Now just think about it. You will think of white light being focused, but a laser beam attached to a weapon, to a death ray, one of the strongest, most destructive or constructive rays for disbursement of matter is red. So I really sincerely do hope that these Rainbow Masters that are now filling you in more in depth than we were able to do so in the Rainbow Master book, these are the things that I know you're longing to hear.